It's God's will for us to give where we are planted, into the house of the Lord. But what I'm talking about is not about tithing or offering or planting a seed because you believe in the word and you're putting your faith, you know, action to your faith. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the corrupt belief that says if you need deliverance and it's just not happening for some reason, then give extra money so that the person can be delivered. That is not of God. It is not biblical. It is not scriptural. And it's a doctrine of demons. Your money perish with you, is what Peter said to Simon the sorcerer, who was amazed at the power of God. He was amazed at the power of God, but he was not truly committed to a life that is laid down for Christ. He was just amazed at power. We have people that are amazed at power, but their lives are not truly laid down for Christ. And Peter has some pretty strong words. He said, "May your money perish with you." Everyone listen and heed the word of the Lord. You cannot buy deliverance with money. You cannot buy power with money. He was a man that was filled with demonic power. And when he saw holy power, he tried to buy holy power as if you could do so. You can't. You surrender to Christ. You renounce what is an ungodly, unlawful way of walking and living. You renounce old ways and you learn to live Christ-like. You learn to live biblical, Christ-like, with Scripture being your foundation. Scripture must be the foundation, not the love of power, not the love of money, not the love of fame, but Scripture. Scripture is the Word, and who is the Word but Jesus, correct? So in Acts 8, starting in verses 1 through 8, that whole part, we see Philip and we see others going everywhere and preaching and healing and casting out demons. The disciples were going everywhere preaching, healing, and casting out demons. This is just another place in Scripture where the Bible shows the moving and signs and wonders is for every believer. This was Philip and others. So we know this, it's for every believer, right? All the believers. But there is an ungodly teaching going around that combines deliverance with power or deliverance with money. And maybe you've heard too, the same thing that I have heard, that if a demon spirit has not left, even though it was kicked out, that you need to sow more money into a specific ministry in order for that demon to leave. That is unbiblical. That is not of God. And we're going to get to Simon the sorcerer that thought that is the way it goes. It's not. It's called doctrines of demons. There's such a thing as doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4:1. If we could put that scripture up, 1 Timothy 4:1. It says, Now the Spirit expressly says, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, expressly says that in latter times of which we're in, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits. The King James says seducing spirits. Deceiving spirits are seducing spirits. And follow the teaching about demons or doctrines of demons. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. That means at one point they were in the faith. They departed from what they once knew, from what they once knew. They departed from truth. In the latter times, some will depart from the faith, from truth, from Jesus, from their salvation. Giving heed, listening to, giving way to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. There are many that will speak of doctrines of demons. And if you start to listen and compromise and say, well, I don't believe in that, like what they're saying, but all this other stuff is good. So it's okay that this part is a doctrine of demons because everything else seems to be okay. You are like a frog in the cooker, slowly having the heat turned up. Death and destruction are sure to follow. You don't want to mess with doctrines of demons. If you recognize something does not come from the Lord, run. Don't meddle with it. Don't become part of the mixture, because that's how deception works. People don't recognize that they've become deceived. So some think that you can buy deliverance or you can buy power. But the Bible says in Matthew 10 and 8, freely, freely you have received and freely give. Freely, freely you have received, freely give. It says in Matthew 10, 8, heal the sick. It's talking specifically about the work of the ministry. It says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. We are not taking the scripture out of context. It's exactly talking about what we're talking about here today, of what Simon the sorcerer tried to do and what people today still do. Yeah, Simon the sorcerer saw power and he tried to buy that power. He saw power and he tried to buy that power with money, but it didn't go too well for him. Do you know someone like Simon the sorcerer? Do you know someone who, like him, is deceived and ties the supernatural power to money? I'm sure you all do. But it's very evil, and it should be very alarming to you. It should be very it's deceptive, and we need to be running from that type of a teaching, not saying it's okay or being cordial with it. So now let's look at Acts 8, and starting in verse 9. It says, but there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria. I'm going to stop right there. He practiced sorcery. He practiced magic, magical arts, magic. But in Deuteronomy 18, magic, sorcery, soothsayers, interpreting omens, and many other types of things like that are listed as forbidden. In Deuteronomy 18, listed as forbidden practices. So we have Simon the sorcerer practicing his magic, his sorcery. And it says, the people of Samaria claiming that he was somebody great. He was practicing sorcery, magic, deceiving people, and people claimed he was great. Deception was spread far and wide. Don't you think this does not happen today? You know it does. They were claiming he was somebody great. And it says, verse 10, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Yeah, right? Ooh, horrible. But church, even as horrible as this sounds, what's even more horrible is that this takes place. And so many in the church are not catching it because it's come commonplace, because it's not taught. And people will idolize a man or a woman at the pulpit instead of recognizing what does the word say. Never do that. Never. Don't idolize a man or a woman. Don't idolize a person. Don't idolize me. Don't idolize anybody. Amen. Seek the Lord. Look to him. Honor him. Make sure that you take whatever is being spoken, even from this pulpit, and you make sure that you go home and be a good Berean and you study the word that is pure, that is true. That's our job. We're called as Christians by the Lord to be good Bereans, every one of us. So he was astonishing. I'm going to back up. There was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is great power. He has the great power of God. This man is the great power. No, this man is, not has, this man is the great power of God. That's even worse. This man is the great power of God. Look at verse, I mean, that's wicked. And verse 11, and they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. He had astonished these people. They were just astonished. Wow. Look at what we're seeing happen right before our very eyes. Wow. They were astonished. But if you look at this in the King James, you don't even have to do a word study. If you just look at this in the King James, that word astonished both times, which is why I made it, emphasized it the first time in verse 9.
The Lord loves a hilarious giver. In his word, he talks about hilariously giving. And I've got to say, because of people like you, God has expanded the ministry's reach to where we are now in 236 million homes preaching the gospel for Jesus Christ. This is incredible. And I wanted to take a moment right now and encourage some of you that have not yet decided to become a partner, a monthly partner, that this would be an incredible time for you to jump in and become a monthly partner with us here at this ministry. The gospel is being preached and people's lives are being changed. And I am excited to where the Lord is taking this ministry. Is it because of us? No, it's all because of Jesus Christ and faithful partners like you. God bless you as you pray and become a monthly partner.
That word astonished means bewitched. Yeah. That word astonished means bewitched. He had bewitched them with his sorceries for a long, long time. Bewitched is to be strongly attracted to. Wow, I don't know, I'm just drawn. I don't know, I'm just drawn. My spirit is drawn. But your spirit's deceived right now. Because you've been giving heed to doctrines of demons. That's why. You go, no, because I carry the Holy Spirit. Yes, but it is our job to keep our spirits pure and not to be mixed with doctrines of demons, because you too can become deceived. Amen. So they were, yeah, seduced. And so they were strongly attracted. They were fascinated. They were fascinated. They were enchanted by someone as if under a magic spell. That's what astonished in this portion of scripture means. That's what bewitched means. So coming under a spell that if that person was to say, we're all going to drink this Kool-Aid and go to our death, they would. We know it's happened before. We know that that has taken place before. Cults will be, they will, they're good. And cult leaders are good at bewitching their people. So this word, bewitched, can literally mean having a witchcraft curse placed over you and you won't even know it, because you're practicing, you're entertaining doctrines of demons even if you're not practicing it. But you know, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, if you guys can put that scripture up, Matthew 7, 13 and 14 says, narrow. Narrow. Narrow is the road. Narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it, but wide is the gate that leads to destruction. And you know why I say that? Let's go back to Acts 8. It says they were all giving heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the power of God. They heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long, long time. Many are being deceived. But Jesus said, narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it, and wide is the great gate that leads to destruction. Right after this, there's a shift, there's a change, a twist in the story. Some would say, wow, he got saved. Verse 12. But when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God, Philip was preaching. Philip and the disciples, they were preaching the word of truth. When they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. So people are getting saved. They're even getting baptized into the name of Jesus. And then Simon himself, the one that practiced sorcery, Simon himself, which was there, also believed. It says he also believed. And when he was baptized, he believed and he was baptized. And then you have the church cheering because someone saw power and therefore they decided to believe and get baptized. Not because Jesus saved them from their sins, but because they were astonished at power. Wrong premise, wrong foundation. Faulty foundation. The house will never stand. Then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. Philip went around ministering. He continued. He's watching. He's observing how to minister under the anointing. How do I cast out demons? How do I heal the sick? Baptized, saved, believed, baptized, and now following Philip as he sees ministry happening. And he was amazed. It says here, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles. He wasn't amazed that Jesus Christ came to shed his blood and set captives free. He was amazed at the miracles, at the power. And then his heart betrayed him. Because right at that point, he was amazed at the miracles and the signs which were done. Now, when the apostles who were in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of the Lord, they sent Peter and John. They're like, these people need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. They received Christ. They got baptized. There's the power of God moving, you know. So the apostles, here we got, you know, we have Peter and John, and they go to them who had come down, and they prayed for these people that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 16. For as yet he had not fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Lord. Verse 17, and then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. So you have the whole group, bunch of people. Not only saved, but now they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Some things were happening. Clearly some things were happening, because verse 18 is written in a way that is obvious. There's something taking place that was evident, was visible. Verse 18 says, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given. Maybe they were speaking in tongues. Maybe they were falling out under the power of God. But they saw something. He saw something. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. He offered them money, and he said, give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Right there, you see the corruption in his heart. Right there, you see that the salvation was not true. Right there, you see that this man was not truly saved. Right there, you see there was deception and corruption. There was perversion. He wanted power. Anybody can fake it for a while. People can fake it. They can fake their salvation for a while, especially if they're seeing a lot of signs and wonders, especially if they're seeing, or supposedly signs and wonders, especially if they would appear to be a move of the Spirit. They can twist it. They could paint the picture in the way they want it to be painted so that people believe what they want them to believe. Don't think for a moment that there are no hirelings doing the very thing that I'm talking about today in the church. It happens, unfortunately, too much. And like I said on our midweek service, the deception that is being allowed to grow is really wicked, and it's not okay at all. God will not be mocked. He will not be mocked at all. God knows the heart, absolutely. He knows the motives, and he also will set captives free as they truly turn to the Lord. But you cannot be taken into that deception. You cannot allow it. You can't be silent. You can't just be quiet, though you know truth. That's why I've been sounding the alarm to you. That's why I've been speaking this to you. You know why? Because to be quiet and know the difference is also to be a party to the sin. And this is a platform God has given me. And this is a, in other words, you are people that God has called me to speak into your lives. The people that come to this church, the people that watch online, the people that are a part of this church, they are people that God has called me to speak into the lives of men and women of God so that we all walk purely before the Lord and we're not taken in by deception because it's rampant out there. It is wild. It's crazy. It's so crazy that you're going, does anybody else see this? Is anybody else seeing this? Why? You know, it's sometimes you look at things and you're hearing things and you're going, does anybody, what? Everybody is just bowing? Everybody, and I mean like, yes, in the natural too, but I mean like just bowing to the demons that are being released. Everybody, they don't see it? My goodness. Yeah, blinded. And again, the blindness comes because they're allowing doctrines of demons. You can't allow a doctrine of demons to... You can't minimize it. You can't go, well, it's not that big of a deal. You know, I know they say you have to sow for deliverance, especially if it's a difficult deliverance. You need to sow to deliverance into this ministry, of course. You need to sow. Let me tell you, is it wrong to give unto the Lord? 100% no. I mean, it's right to give. We're called to give. We're commanded to give, right? It's biblical to give. There's a blessing to give. It's God's will for us to give where we are planted. Into the house of the Lord. But what I'm talking about is not about tithing or offering or planting a seed because you believe in the word and you're putting your faith, you know, action to your faith. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the corrupt belief that says if you need deliverance and it's just not happening for some reason, then give extra money so that the person can be delivered. That is not of God. It is not biblical. It is not scriptural. And it's a doctrine of demons. And if you let that doctrine of demons start to infiltrate your minds, if you just leave it and go, ah, it's okay, because look at everything else that's happening. It's so good. And you dismiss what is clearly spoken of in scripture. Because you think what you see is true, you are walking as a fool. Foolishness is bound up in your heart. And you do not want that. You don't want the deception at all. But I'm telling you, there are a lot that have been very deceived. And even though things are being spoken, even though that things are being spoken out, things are coming to the light, you've got this massive crowd that refuses to hear it. Wow. What if that was your son or daughter? What was that? What if that was your son or daughter caught up in this massive deception? Thinking that it's Jesus. Thinking that it's the Lord. Thinking it's good. What if that was our children? Because there's, you know, the deception is not, this should be causing an alarm to go off on the inside of you guys. I'm telling you, it is not okay. It is not okay because there's a lot of what I would call, the Bible calls, doctrines of demons. And we need to know manifestations of the Lord when they're truly of the Lord are beautiful and they're pure and it causes change. And we read it all throughout scripture. And we believe in the move of the Spirit. You know, we believe in the gifts of God that they're still in operation. They never stopped. I've never preached anything but that. I've always preached that the gifts of God, the move of the Spirit, continues. And it has always continued. And there are many that preach that it never ended. It never stopped. There are many churches that believe that and preach that. And they do it in a pure way, a right way. There are many. Not just this church. There are many. God has his people everywhere. And he has literally called the remnant to be set apart and to do what they're called to do and be that beacon light. And we have been doing that. And when God says, I want you to sound the alarm on this situation, though, because there are some in your own circles that are allowing doctrines of demons to get in there, to get in their minds, it is my job to sound the alarm, because we cannot have mixture. You can't have mixture. It's way too costly. I've told you before, the devil doesn't play fair. A little bit of deception becomes a lot of deception in not too much time. Let me go back to hear what it says in verse 18. Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given freely. He offered them money. He's like, wow, there's power here. Wow. I see it. Lest you be fooled. I see it when there are certain individuals. They're not in here right now, but I know exactly who you are. But I see it when you walk in this room and you see the power of God and you're hoping. It's the same thing. And you're praying, you're hoping that the power that you see displayed would be transferred onto you. Now, Lord, help me to make this point clearly. But when the individual's heart is not of a pure motive, is it wrong to see, wow, she operates in the miraculous, she operates in power. I'd like that. I want to see more of that in my life, in my heart. Is that wrong? No, as long as the heart motive is right. Absolutely not. It's actually a good thing. But you get it from God. You can model. Yeah, I can model it. I can pray for you. But the anointing you receive is the anointing that comes from the Lord. I received it from the Lord. You want to receive it from the Lord, not somebody else. That doesn't mean I can't lay hands. That doesn't mean I don't believe in impartation. I do. We believe in impartation. I can give you what I have to a degree, but what you really want is the full impartation from the Lord, right? So all of that is true, but I know, I do know, and I see whom they are. When they walk in, the motive is wrong. Hungry for power. They see power, they're hungry for power. And what they really want, they're here for one thing and one thing only. They're just waiting. They're just waiting for the transfer of power. And then they're on their own. They're on to do their own thing, what they really were called, what they really think they were called to do. I see when those individuals walk in. And it's not that I won't even pray for them. But I mind the Spirit of God as to what I say. Because freely I've been given. Freely you've been given, right? Freely we receive from the Lord. But I see when it's a polluted desire where power is what, the hunger for power is what the driving force is. And that's not good at all. To want the gifts of God because you want to advance the kingdom and you want to be used by the Spirit of God, not so that you can elevate yourself, but so you can glorify God, is a good thing. It's a beautiful thing, as it's supposed to be. But when you sense someone is just hungry for power and they just want power so that they can be, hey, look at me, wrong. But that's what Simon did. That's exactly. He even went to the extent of offering money for it. They may not offer you money. It's the same Spirit. They may not come and say, I'll give you money for that. I mean, come on, we live in America. Most people are not going to say that. And if they did, wow, how deceived, how far have we come? But so most people are not going to say that, right? They're not going to say, I'll give you that money. People go to fortune tellers and they give money, right? But I'm saying in the church, most people are not going to come into a church and go, wow, I'll give you money for that. I think most people are a little bit more wiser than that, right? But they still do it. They just don't offer the money. They still do it. They're still wanting what you have. They still want the power. It's not any different than what Simon the sorcerer did. Are you following what I'm saying? It's the same. It's the same Spirit. It's just that in America, people are a little more sophisticated. And so they're not going to stoop to that level, right? But the heart is still wrong. The motive is still wrong. You know, we must never prostitute ourselves. I guess I see that as a prostitution. We must never prostitute our... He was prostituting himself. hungry for power, would go to no, he would stop at nothing to get it, even following Philip and Peter around to see how they ministered so that he could learn how to do so. And when he really, when he saw Peter laying hands and wow, we went to some real power. How can I get this real power? Prostituting himself. He was prostituting. We will never give of ourselves to fascination of what's lesser. It's lesser when we have been given greater. We have been given greater, which is Christ in us. We have been given greatest. So we would not prostitute ourselves to walk in lesser when we've been given the greatest, right? Okay, let me go back here and let me wrap this up. He says, give me, in verse 19, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you. Because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.
Very clear.
It was very clear. He said, may your money perish with you. In other words, may you perish. Wow, pretty strong. That is how strong. That is how serious this is. He says, your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. He says, verse 21, you have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this, your wickedness, and pray, and pray, and pray, God, if perhaps the thoughts of your heart may be forgiven you, for I see that you are poisoned. Poisoned by bitterness? Poisoned. And bound by iniquity, bound by sin, bound by sin. And then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord. No, he said, you pray. Pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. He didn't even pray. He couldn't even pray because he didn't really know who Christ is or He did not know. He didn't know who Christ was. He doesn't know who Christ is. He couldn't pray. Whom are you listening to? Listen. Listen, or I should say, heed to those that you're listening to. Heed, truly listen to what they're saying. Listen to what they're saying. Don't turn a blind eye. Well, you will know that in my church, I do address these things. Sometimes one-on-one when needed. Sometimes in a smaller group and sometimes from the pulpit and whatever is necessary. And that's because I know how the enemy works. So do you. He's very subtle. But he has a goal and he drives to that goal. And he doesn't stop. And we cannot, as leaders in the house of God, we can't turn a blind eye to that. Because your salvation, your walk and the purity of your walk, I have part responsibility in that. To make sure that what I teach is truly from the Lord. To make sure that I teach what you need to hear so that you don't get deceived and become one of another number. Because I truly do love and care for you, but I have a fear of God even more. I have a fear of God. We need to have a fear of God, a healthy fear of God, that we are responsible for what we know, but even what we don't know still can hurt us. So just because you don't know something, just because you claim ignorance doesn't mean that you won't also experience consequences. So we are responsible for what we know, but we are also responsible for learning more, right? Because ignorance is not an excuse, right? So the greatest gift is salvation, church. And here we are, a church that practices the gifts of God always, every single time. And we believe in the move of the Spirit and people fall down. But you know, just because somebody falls down, you know, doesn't always mean that it was even God. Sometimes it was a demon that pushed that person down. Sometimes it was a demon. And sometimes it was a demon because that demon did not want me to go forth and actually get him set free. So it's a show, it's an act. That's why sometimes I'll get him back up. Because I know this is an act. A demon is working right now. We are a church that believes in the flow of the Spirit. And it's always, always, you know, flowing in this house. Because we believe that's what we're called to do. And we don't shy away from it at all. But we also need to be spiritually mature and balanced and teach from a position that know truth so that you can dispel the lie when you see it. Because you will see it in places. You will see it in places where it's spoken of as truth, but it's not. Where it's spoken of as pure, but it's not. Where it's spoken of as God, when it's not. So, he said, may your money perish with you. That's a strong statement, but Peter spoke that because he needed to. This sorcerer, this man that practiced magic, sorcery, deceiving people, is not acceptable. And if at any point in time you have listened to teachers, maybe you have been in a church, maybe you went to a conference, maybe you listen online, and you have listened to teaching that is faulty. Like, and I'm not saying for you to be judgmental. I'm saying you can test the spirits and know. The Bible says test the spirits to see if they be true. You know in your spirit, man, this is not okay. This is not of God. If at any point in time you have listened, you've opened up your spirit, man, to listen to things. And I don't mean just you're listening to so you can test the spirits. I mean, you were open to receiving what they had to say. You presented yourself there more than one time, time after time after time. You became part of that, even if it was online. You became part of that teaching. You walked away, oh, yes, otherwise, what you once thought was bad, now listen, you don't think it's so bad anymore because you're becoming accustomed to what is wrong and deceptive, right? So even if it is online, even right now, and you're sensing, gosh, yeah, you know what? I used to listen to so-and-so. I've stopped listening. Well, thank God. Thank God that you stopped listening. But have you renounced? Have you repented? Because it's important. Have you said, Lord, is there any area in my heart, in my life, where I have believed wrong things? Where I heard messages that were kind of bizarre, but you know, I allowed it because I saw some good. And so I don't want to be judgmental, so I allowed it. Hey, you're soldiers in the kingdom. Amen. Can't be partiality in us. You're just soldiers. You can't have mixture in you. That's like, you know, a little leaven leavens the lump. A little bit of sin will start to spread and become more sin. Amen. It's a disease, and it spreads. Enforcers, arise. God carries power, militant power, to destroy every army that tries to come against you. Every assignment, every tactic, every scheme, every wicked agenda. Jesus has qualified us. That blood that he shed on that cross qualified us. What for what? To be partakers? The Spirit of the living God is the power of God, and it works. We have to choose to partner with the Lord. We are enforcing the Word of God. The name of Jesus.